In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Take a break with Pelican's Beak Breaker, the Northwest's favorite double IPA. Pelican Brewing Company. Cheers, fellow fanatics.
All right, Daily Ticker time, fueled by Pelican Brewing's Beak Breaker IPA with big hops, big flavor, and a crisp finish. Beak Breaker is a perfect way to stay refreshed throughout every bracket-busting upset. We got off the air on Friday, and a little bit of news came out of the old NBA.
A little bit of news.
Hey, wait a minute. What? Aren't they in the playoffs? What the hell's going on? So let's head out to Memphis now and figure out what the hell is going on. Joining us now is John Martin from ESPN Radio in Memphis. For those who were living under a rock over the weekend, the Grizzlies fired Taylor Jenkins on Friday. And yes, they are currently in the playoffs in the Western Conference. You can give John a follow on Twitter at JohnMartin929. John, good morning. What the hell's going on over there?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting because there was a real disconnect between sort of like what we have been talking about in Memphis over the last couple of months and just the national reaction. Although, in fairness, I think the majority of the reaction nationally was about the timing, which I'm going to do my best to encapsulate all of this. But listen, the Grizzlies were at one point this year number two in the West. They looked like they were going to claim their status as one of the better teams in the Western Conference with a healthy Ja, healthy Desmond Bane, healthy Jaren Jackson Jr., you know, a couple of nice draft picks with Jalen Wells. But really since then, they've just done nothing but slide. It's been nothing but a slow slide here to sixth. Right now, it feels like a complete coin flip as to whether or not they'll be in the play-in. They've beaten one team over 500 since February the 3rd, and that was a Dallas Mavericks team that had eight players out. And I'm saying 500 at the time. They had eight players out, so I don't even think that should count. I think that was after the Luka trade anyway. So I just think the organization kind of took stock here and said, hey, you know, the players aren't really responding to Taylor Jenkins anymore. We're not beating good teams. You know, he's playing 11 guys. You know, the new offense isn't working. Ja's numbers are down. And I think from their perspective, they just said, listen, whatever we can reclaim of this year, because as you guys know in the NBA, you don't have forever. Whatever we can reclaim of this year, if we can get a new voice in there, why would we delay the inevitable? We're going to fire Taylor Jenkins after the inevitable first-round exit anyway. Why not at least try to get a new voice in there, attempt to have these guys maybe, you know, galvanized again, and see what we can make out of this year where we do have a healthy Desmond Bane, healthy Ja, and Jaren Jackson Jr. So I think that was the urgency, is just trying to shake it up, you know, and attempt to salvage whatever's left of this season.
Yeah, but I don't know, John, I don't know how you would feel about their odds to maybe get to, like, the West Finals or even to win, I guess, a round. I'm more just stumped of, like, you want to move on from the coach. He had to clear his staff out. He was mandated to do that. He had to replace everybody. Okay, totally get it. But how would you have responded if I went in a time machine and I went back in August and I said, hey, with nine games left in the Grizzlies' upcoming season, they're going to fire Taylor Jenkins. Your response would have been what to doing that?
Well, it would have been, you know, the like you said, the writing was sort of on the wall when they mandated him to change his staff. And, I mean, you guys know this. I don't ever get attached to NBA coaches. I mean, they're outside of, what, 3 to 5? They're all kind of the same. They're all hired to be fired. You know, this is the job. This is the organization. This is the league. So, yeah, listen, he's done a good job. He's done a good job. But it's one thing to be the coach who brings up Ja and Jaren as rookies and develops them. You know, that's a stage, all right? Well, then there's another stage, right? And that's where he has not been as good. He has not been as good in the playoffs. I mean, even the one series they did win, fellas, they were, I believe the stat was that they trailed for more minutes than the Timberwolves in that series that they won. So his track record in the postseason is just not great. It's not good at all. So, you know, Mark Jackson got let go. You know, he got let go with the Warriors. They had to bring in Steve Kerr. Now, I'm not predicting anywhere close to the same, you know, arc there. I'm just saying coaches are good in certain stages. You know, and I think you know, for Taylor Jenkins and the Grizzlies, they just sort of ran their course together.
Hmm. That's interesting because, you know, we've had this debate a lot over the years in Portland. You know, we went through this with like a Terry Stotts, Neil O'Shea thing of how much it is the coach, how much of it is the roster construction. And I've always just yelled, it's, you know, you got two guards under 6'2", don't play defense with Dame and CJ, you're not going to win much. No, I don't care how good your coach is. You could have the, you know, best coach in the history of the league. Is there a coach that you think can... I know they're going to go interim the rest of the way, and we'll see what they do in the offseason. With this collection, is this a roster that can compete for a championship in your mind, or is it still roster construction the biggest issue that they got to figure out this summer?
Yeah, no, this team can't win a title. No, no chance. You know, I thought at one time, 2-3 years ago, that would be the case. But as I say in Memphis, you know, because when this all starts and you get John Morant and you get Jaren Jackson Jr., get Desmond Bane, and you get these guys on their rookie deals, everything feels possible. They got the Warriors pick. They got the Jazz right. pick. I mean, it's just you look out and you're just like, oh, my God, it's so beautiful. But you're only ahead of schedule until you're not in the NBA. And the future is now the present. And what do we got? What are we doing here? I mean, John Morant's had off-court issues. He's had injury issues. You know, is Desmond Bane really a max contract player? I mean, you know, you're spending a lot of money, right? And then Jaren Jackson Jr.'s up. They got to pay him. It's a lot of payroll for a play-in team. And it really hamstrings you, as you guys know, with the rest of what you can do with your roster. I mean, they're depending on guys like Jalen Wells. They're depending on guys like Vince Williams. You know, Luke Kennard plays 21 minutes the other night. I don't even know if he took a shot. So you're just really limited in what you can do. You needed this core, you know, to be available. You needed them to take steps. It's good, but it's not elite. It's not a contender. It's sort of what it looks like right now to me. It's you know, if you're hoping to be a 4-5 out of the play-in, you know, that's good. It's not where anybody hoped it would be, though, 2-3 years ago.
I know Kleiman had said basically, like, anybody suggesting Ja could be on the move, like, no, not happening. Execs can throw that out all they want. We love Ja. Is there one of the three most likely to be moved this summer to you?
No, I don't think that's where they are. I mean, I think they still believe in the core. And I would just tell people, like, look at the Luka return, man. Like, you ain't getting anything for Ja Morant. Like, it's just not even worth talking about. It's better to keep him, you know, and ride this thing out with a star that you've never had. But no, I think they're still 10 toes down with trying to ride this out and, you know, seeing what a new voice and, you know, another offseason. Although, again, like, this front office should definitely be, you know, under fire because they have made so many trades, transactional moves that have wound up being, quite frankly, disasters. You know, you trade for Marcus Smart, you do that with a first-round pick, then you got to send out another first-round pick to get rid of them. It's just been, you know, they've done a good job at finding guys in the second round, late first, you know, Desmond Bane, Santi, D.J. Jackson, Vince Williams, but they really have not done well in any other aspect, be it free agent, be it trade. Like, they've lost every single one of those. And so I think, you know, whether it's Zach Kleiman or whoever, I mean, I think this front office needs to be on notice as well. It can't just be the coach.
Interesting. Last one for you, John, and then we'll let you go. Appreciate the time today. I don't know how closely you follow it, but a random curveball. Any chance Memphis joins the Pac-12?
Oh.
I hope and pray every single day, man. Yeah. I hope and pray every single day because I've been beating this drum in Memphis because I'm so passionate about it. You know, the Tigers are in a dead-end league in the AAC. I mean, there's no upward mobility with the television contract. The teams are unserious as a whole about athletics. You know, Memphis is one of seven teams, I believe, that finished their season ranked in the top 25 in both football and basketball, and I believe the only one from the non-power leagues. You know, such a brand and such a product that they deserve better than what they're currently in. And the AD's, you know, stance was, well, the Pac-12 didn't offer a deal that was good enough in terms of travel and things. We weren't going to be able to overcome it. But my stance the whole time is, okay, can you really afford to stay in this dead-end league that you're in right now? Your program is just dying on the vine. People don't get excited to go to the games. You know, your opponents stink. You get no national respect. So I hope that there's a path for the Pac-12 in Memphis to reconvene here because I think it truly would be best for all parties.
Yeah. If you predicted, would you say that you think that they ultimately change their tune and go to the Pac-12?
I mean, as of right now, I haven't really heard anything that would make me believe that. I mean, unless the money just changed. Now, I guess there's a world where the media rights deals come in, they get the money, and it's a little bit more than projected, although, you know, it's hard to know, you know, if that would be the case. But, right. you know, if something substantially changed, you know, if there's a little bit more money, then yes. But unless and until that happens, I would say that Memphis is just going to stand pat. And they're going to say, we're on ESPN. We have what we know what we have. Sometimes right. the devil you know is better than the devil you don't.
Yeah, great stuff. John Martin from ESPN Radio in Memphis. Go give him a follow on Twitter, @JohnMartin929. Grizzlies firing their coach. I know Oregon State fan and Washington State fan would love to have Memphis, Tulane, kind of a group of those teams join the Pac-12. Yeah. It would be a lot of fun. Thanks for the time, man, out here in Portland. We appreciate it. Hopefully we do this again soon.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks, fellas.